All right, y'all gonna have to listen fast. Can you put your hearing up to a faster speed? Because once the aroma of all the food comes out of the oven and wafts in this room, you're just out of it. You're gone. It's lunchtime. No. Let me read a quote. The young are impulsive and apt to desire passionately. They are easily carried away by their impulses and are incapable of resisting their desires. They are changeable too and fickle in their desires, which are violent but short-lived. They act passionately and quickly and follow their impulses, but they do not act from calculation. They are high-minded, for they have not yet been humbled by life, nor have they experienced the force of circumstances. Their hopeful disposition makes them think of themselves equal to great things. They think they know everything and are always quite sure about it. Where did this come from? One of our modern psychologists, one of our modern teachers today, and a new thing. No, it was from Aristotle in 335 BC. He wrote this not as a criticism, but just as an analysis of how youth were back then. They haven't changed much. Youth and children have been a topic for every generation. How to raise children and how to parent teens are vital issues today. These can be controversial topics. There's much disagreement on how to raise and teach children. A lot has changed since I raised my children in the 80s and 90s. The family, though under attack, is still considered the basis of society and a foundation of our faith. The relationship between parents and children is important. So important that many of the verses in the book of Proverbs address children, youth, and parents. The book begins with a father addressing his son. Family structures vary. There are stay-at-home moms or dads. Some are both working. There are single parenting. There are blended families and any mix of the above. Yet Scripture is pretty clear about parenting, about raising children, and the authority structures God has put in place to accomplish this. Even though a generation or so ago, much of the Western culture, most of Western society threw off authority and raised their kids, not to respect or care much about authority, and now those kids are parents, but God's word still remains true. God's word still remains true, and as we shall see, provides wisdom to parents as well as children, wisdom that is sorely needed today. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts to your word. Speak to us as we need to be spoken to this morning. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is here and he takes your word and brings it alive into our lives. Help us to apply what we learned today. Just a minute ago, as I was thinking about this message, I realized this could be perceived as kind of a downer, kind of hard, but it's not. I love children. I love youth. I was a youth pastor for 20 years. I'd still be there if I weren't just old. God's word it's a serious topic. It's a serious topic. And so some of this may sound a little serious today, but this is where we are. This is what God's word teaches to us. Here's this thing. Point number one, children need to be parented. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. The point of this is not the rod. Don't zero in on that. The point of this proverb is that there's something wrong in the heart of a child that needs correction. A child's heart needs to be corrected. What is wrong is that they're foolish. They're foolish and do foolish things. Being foolish doesn't mean that children are stupid or dumb. It means that they're inexperienced. They're unknowledgeable about many of the matters in the world and just don't know the right things to do. That's all it means. They don't know the right things to do yet. We'll add that on the end. They lack wisdom. A three-year-old will run into the street unless taught not to. Three- and four-year-olds are not to be reasoned with, to be instructed. And that's what the word discipline means throughout this whole thing. The word discipline means to instruct. One day I was at a fast food restaurant in the U.S., and the little girl on the counter, it was obviously one of her first days, and she just burst into tears. Everything had gone wrong in the order, and she had put it in the the cash register wrong, and everything was wrong, and she just fell into tears and started crying. Her manager kind of had to step up and get her to the side and get her to think. Well, about a month later, I came back to that same restaurant, and there she was, and she had on her tag, and it said, assistant trainer. Here she was. She couldn't do anything. She's falling apart, and now here she is, an assistant trainer. What did she get? Wisdom. Wisdom. She learned how to do it. She was instructed, and she got wisdom. Children need to listen. Proverbs 1, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. It was true then. It's true today. Young children and teens, they need instruction. Hopefully by the time they're young adults, they've maybe learned to come and ask questions when they don't know things. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But some who do not listen, if they do not listen, what are they going to do? They're going to run headlong into trouble. So someone needs to teach them how to live in this world, and that's the role of parents. That's the role of parents. Children are to obey. Children are to obey. They're to obey their parents. You obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Notice here, what's the father to do? He's not to provoke his children to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline, which is really the same, and instruction of the Lord. He's to be teaching them. And children are to obey. Parents are to teach. And in both these verses, he says, don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Don't provoke your children. You know, parenting is hard on parents. And you know what? It's hard on kids too. Sometimes they get just as frustrated with their parents and what their parents are saying, and do this and do that and then don't do this. And they get frustrated in that. So the command is for children and the fathers. You know, there's frustration can come out when you're raised up. Were you ever frustrated with your parents growing up? Nah, none of us were. We were never frustrated. They always knew it right, and we just went along and did it right. So we need to realize as parents, and maybe some of you as teenagers, it can be frustrating in a house. It can be tough at times. But the responsibility of frustration is really given to the father. They need to be thinking, and parents need to be thinking about, particularly dads, about what they're doing. Good parenting doesn't just happen. It's not just going to happen. Every child is different. We'll look at that a little later. But discipline means what? To educate by training. So as parents, we're to be actively teaching our children to obey and to learn from that instruction. It wasn't easy then. Children got frustrated. Parents got frustrated. And it's not easy now. Parenting is not easy, as the title of the sermon. It's not for cowards. It's not for cowards. Then we have a weighty command, the fifth commandment. I'm playing on words there. The Lord chose to write and to give Moses. Think about this. The Lord chose to write and give Moses 10 commandments. Now, all the rest of the law and all that comes out of that, so we have a whole book full of it. But, you know, maybe that's all that would fit on two tablets. But, you know, he chose to give 10, so he picked 10. So he's going to pick the really important ones, isn't he, to put as what we call the 10 commandments for God's people to live as God's people. And he puts in there, honor your father and your mother. It's that important that it made it into the list, into the 10 commandments. To honor your father and your mother is to put weight to them, to honor them, to hold them up in high esteem, to obey them. For the Lord has placed them over you, and he's placed them over you for your good and for culture and society. So the Lord has placed parents over children for their good. You know, it's dangerous to mock your parents. It's dangerous to disobey. Proverbs 37, the eye that mocks his father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. That's not very pretty, is it? What is Solomon trying to vividly illustrate for us? That if you have a disrespect for authority with your parents, it'll translate into your life. It'll translate into your life and the way you live. You know, it was so important in Israel that children obey and not be disrespectful that in Deuteronomy 21, if your child was super disrespectful, completely rebellious, a reprobate, they stoned him to death. They stoned him to death. You may have friends, many of you might be able to attest to not the death part with your friends, but you have friends that were maybe they were always bucking authority. You know, the funnest guy in the crowd when you were a teenager, the guy that always seemed to get away with it, always bucking authority, resisting all restraint. But you know what? It usually didn't end that well for that person, did it? Usually it didn't end that well for or go that well for them. So we learn too that parents need to parent. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. In today's culture, many people with children don't really want to parent. They don't really want to be parents. They're more interested in their own fulfillment. It's not everyone, but a lot of people do this, interested in their own fulfillment. They're self-absorbed, and children get in the way. Children get in the way. You know what they do? They do. They get in the way, and they spend a whole lot of your money. And even when they get married, they still spend a whole lot of your money. But they just never go away. Praise the Lord. But they do sometimes get in the way. They are sometimes inconvenient. They sometimes do things. Sometimes they get sick, and you've got to be at work, and you've got all sorts of things that go on with children. But many people, they don't know how to parent. They just don't know how to parent. Perhaps we're going to call it that they've never been parented properly. You know, we have to give some people a break a little as they raise their children. Some people struggle because they weren't parented. They didn't know how to parent. Now they're just trying to figure it all out. And some people are just doing the best they can. But some people weren't ever parented. But parents need to parent. God has set up an authority structure for life. God has set up an authority structure for life. There's a heavenly authority structure. And also from the beginning in the garden, God was in charge. Adam and Eve were to obey him. God calls his creatures to live under authority. God gave man dominion over this world. Authority has always been part of creation. God calls us to live under authority. We do better, actually, under authority. But he's our ultimate authority, and he's established authority in the home and in the church and the state. In business. So as parents, don't apologize for authority. Don't apologize for saying, I'm in charge. You know, I learned early on that because I said so was an answer. And that was about all I was going to get. Why do you have to do it? Because I said so. But why? Because I said so. Well, God had given my parents authority over me, and God has given you authority. Don't apologize it for being in authority. Assume it. Because we work best under authority. Why do we work best under authority? Because we're prone to sin. We're prone to sin and we need it. God has given parents the responsibility to teach their children. We saw that in the passage read from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We take that seriously. The church needs to take that seriously. Why are there Christian education programs in churches? Because we need to take seriously as a church teaching children. That's why we should have Christian education programs. But as parents, we need to take that. It's serious. God said, teach your children the things of the Lord. Why? So that they may fear me. So that they may fear me. So that they may understand that I am God. I am who I said I was. So they get to know him. Because the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. Children need to acknowledge, hey, there's God out there. And he set these things up, and I need to obey him. I need to learn about him. Someone said that by age 10 or 12, most children are either working under their parents' authority or they've left it. By age 10 or 12, most children are either working under their parents' authority or they've left it. So we need to not spend just a minimal amount of time with our children, but we need to spend the maximum amount of time that we can. You know, I know one family in particular, the father gave up a big career, a big career move. It would have been great. He would have had prestige. He would have money. He would have a lot of things that he wanted, but he stopped and he said, but that means more time away from home. That means more time away from my kids. That means less time to invest in them and with my wife, and he turned it down. Why? Because he wanted to spend more time with his kids than less time. Understand this, that your child has a sin nature. Your child has sin. If you didn't know that, if you have small children, if you didn't know that, I'd let you in on it. They do. They have a sin nature. This is evident in most children from an early age. Children disobey. Children want their own way. I want what I want when I want it. And sometimes you really just have to give it to them or they'll never shut up. But they want what they want. They want it. Children have a sin nature. They are naturally self-centered. And so are we. We just learn to control it better. And God's worked in our lives to sanctify us. Your child is not naturally going to do what's right all the time. So when we're teaching them, we instruct them in God's word and discipline them, we're loving our children. We're loving our children because we're directing them in the right way to live. And the child needs this instruction because as a child, you know, he's ignorant. He has no way of acquiring this knowledge. We have to teach it to him. He can't pick up books and read it. They need this knowledge, and the only way they're going to get it is to be taught. That's our job. So learning, he won't learn good behavior unless he's taught it. Again, one writer said, Eric Lane, his commentary on Proverbs says, the child himself needs instruction. Because as a child, he is ignorant and has no means of acquiring knowledge unless he is taught it, or if learning good behavior unless he is shown it. He's also in a state of inborn folly because of inborn sin in his heart. We'd also, to, as parents, to understand our child, to understand our child, to think about your child, to understand them. Proverbs 22:6 is one of the most discussed verses in the book of Proverbs. How to translate it correctly. There are a number of different translations, but most of them kind of all give the same meaning. They give us direction and insight into parenting. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Or start children off in the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. In the way he should go. In the way he should go. I think a good translation is according to his bent. That would be in Hebrew. According to the way he is or she. According to the way that he or she is. Their personality, their gifts, their interest, all of that have to factor in. You cannot raise all your children and treat them all the same way because they're not all the same. They're different. My three sons, totally different, totally different children. Now, young men, even today, they're still different. One was very sensitive about everything and always wanted to please. One was just stubborn and he didn't care what you did to him. He was going to do his own thing. Duncan and I were still trying to figure him out, but he was kind of get along with everybody and be a great guy. Just different personalities. Had to teach them differently. So parenting won't just happen. And as you tend to, just as you tend to approach marriage the way you saw modeled in front of you with your parents, you will approach parenting in the same way. That may be great. That might be poor. I don't know. Maybe your parents were really crummy parents. Maybe they didn't know what they were. They weren't really good. Or your parents were great parents. But you've got to think through that. You've got to think about that. Oh, well, they were good at this. Yeah, I'm going to be like this. No, not going to do like that. You need to think about it. And as husband and wife, you got to think through this. How are we going to parent? You need to have a plan. One of the translations of these verses is a warning. It goes like this. It says, if you let a child go in the way he wants, then he'll never depart from those ways. That could be a warning. Tony Dungy was American Gridiron, Super Bowl. Super Bowl's in next week, by the way. Super Bowl coach. And he said this, the hardest thing was to get them to do it my way. All these professional athletes, they all thought they knew how to do it best. And all the players knew how to do it. They want to do it their way. And they started out just losing a lot because they didn't like his system. They didn't do it the way he wanted. But he said, I had to coach each player differently because they were all different. And then it took a few years, but he turned them around. They finally agreed to do it his way, the way he wanted. But he had to approach them all differently. And that's with our children. We have to approach them all differently. They're all not the same. What's the goal of parenting? The goal of parenting is a heart for God. It's a heart for God. And I'll just take an aside by the way here. I hope I haven't discouraged anyone with everything I've said. But you can be good parents. Have that confidence. You got children or you're going to have children or whatever. You can be good parents. No matter how you grew up. No matter what you grew up with. Good or bad, whatever. You can be good parents. You have God's help. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the church. So don't think you can't do it. Well, the heart is, we want a heart for God. The heart is the root, the seed of all behavior in us. It's the control center. So parenting should focus on the heart. Behavior's there. Behavior's going to be there. But we focus on changing the heart. As they learn the word, as they're obedient, they learn different things. And the Holy Spirit works in a child's heart. You can't really change it, but God can. So we teach them and we pray for them. But the goal is their heart change. And also, as parents, we're to guard against outside influences. We're to teach them not to enter the path of the wicked. You know, when I was a teenager, sometimes my parents would say, no, you can't go there. No, you're not doing that. And I was angry. But all my friends are going to be there. We don't care. It's not going to be a good thing. You don't need to be there. So they would keep me out of the ways of some things that I didn't need to be doing. And as parents, we guard against outside influences. But you never know the way what God's doing in a person's heart and how they can work. Think about for a moment. Joseph had a very difficult upbringing, didn't he? It was very difficult for him. He had rejection. He was thrown into slavery, into prison. Yet what? He had faith in God. He had faith in the Lord. I'm speculating, but somebody taught him about God. Somebody taught him about the Lord, and it was in his heart. Or the servant girl, Naaman's wife. She's ripped from her home, taken into captivity, and deported. You know, in the Babylonian captivity. Yet, she's faithful to the Lord. She's faithful to the Lord. So it's not about circumstances. Somebody had taught her. You just never know. You never know as a parent what God's going to do with the stuff you put in your child's life. When I became a Christian, all those Bible stories that my grandmother drilled into my head, they just came out. They were there for God to use. So you never know. What if you don't have children? Or what if you can't have children? That's hard. That's difficult. It's a very difficult and emotional issue. Somewhere in this picture is a couple, Brad and Joy White. Clint's seen some of these people. Ray's seen a few of these people. But I heard Joy one time when they had tried to have children for years and they couldn't have them. Someone asked her, is it hard not having children? I forgot what the circumstance was. She says, oh, I have children. I have nieces. I have nephews to help raise. They're children and teens at my church who we minister to. Brad and I have lots of children in our family and our church family. She put her life in others. She had lots of children to work in. We illustrated this at Judah's baptism. What about the heartbreak sometimes with parenting? What about the heartbreak of that? A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is sorrow to his mother. Proverbs are wise and tested sayings. They're not unconditional promises. And when you parent a rebellious child or one that has walked away from the faith, for now, we hope. It raises all sorts of questions. It raises all sorts of questions about the Lord and his promises. We mentioned that Proverbs are tested truths, bring wisdom to those who follow them, but they're not absolute promises. We don't parent with a guaranteed outcome. That may sound counterintuitive, but we're to be obedient to the Lord and raise our children. But we don't parent with a guaranteed outcome. When your child strays, it's natural to ask ourselves, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong in this? Where did I fail? If only I had done this or that. It can crush your spirit and definitely make you question many things, but there's hope. There's hope. There's always hope, and that's where our faith comes in. And where there's hope, there's faith. The Lord's not finished with your child. The Lord's not finished with your child or you. God's still in control. You know, when they were born, you said, I love this child. I'm going to love them unconditionally. And that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. You're still to love your child and unconditionally, no matter what. And that's where the gospel helps us in this. We ask ourselves, well, how does the Lord parent us? How did the Lord come to us? What can we learn of this? Well, we've learned that, yeah, we're sinners. We covered that pretty well in this sermon so far. But we also learned that God loves us with unconditional love. He loves us even when we were sinners, even when we were disobedient. His love is not based upon what we do. It's based upon him. Your child's love is not based upon what they do. It's what you do. How are you going to respond to that? Perhaps, what's God teaching you? Maybe God wants to teach you. How do I love someone who's not very lovely right now? He's disobedient. He's gone away. She's run away. She's done all this. But I'm still called to love her. How do I do that? Well, like God does. You pray to the Lord that he would help you. And children, you know, are to love and they're challenged. Perhaps you're a child and your parents aren't the best, or your parents are struggling with different things. Maybe God's called you to learn how to love them right now in your life. You're to love them without getting what you get, getting something in return. So God forgives. We learn how to forgive each other, our children, and we persevere. And God, as God perseveres with us, realizing that he's at work. God never gives up on you. God never gives up on you. You know, I know with me, he should have a number of times, but he doesn't give up on me. Why? Because he loves me. Because he's chosen me. Because he's chosen me. And I'll persevere until the end because of him and what he will do in my life. And your child will too. They'll persevere. We're to love them. We're to love them. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us to continue to pray and to pray some more, believing our prayers, making a profound difference, to trust and to love and to believe that the Lord loves our child even more than we do. I'm not going to read it because we don't have time. In this book, back of this book, Prayers for Prodigals, a book that ministered to me more than any book probably in the last years, but there's a story by E.M. Bounds of a guy named William McKay. He was a doctor in London, a medical doctor. As he grew up in a Christian home, he'd see his mother praying for him. And before he left home and then before she died, she gave him a Bible. And then he left home and he says, I sold it. I sold that Bible for a little bit of money because I needed money. I was down. I was destitute. Then he finished medical school. He became work in a hospital. And one day a man came in who was dying. And he knew he would die. And the man hung on for 2 or 3 days. And then he passed away. And the nurse went in through his belongings and picked up this Bible. He said, what should I do with this? He took it and looked at it and he said, it was mine. This was my Bible that I'd sold at a shop for nothing. And God just worked and drew him back to himself. He eventually quit the ministry and wrote a number of books, wrote a number of hymns that we sing today. So, wherever your child is, you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know what God's going to do and how he's going to work, for he loves your child more than you. and he will pursue them. So, parenting in for cowards, it's tough, but we need to do it. We have to do it for our children's good, for the blessings of them. And as we saw this morning in the baptism, the church, we're here to help each other in this. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that, thank you for authority. Thank you for structures. Thank you that you are ever the God who is in supreme control, and that you have given us structures to work under, and that we work better under them. Father, help us as parents to parent well, maybe parent as best we can, but to honor your word, to teach to our children, to love our children, to instruct them, Lord, to teach them the things you're about you, that they may fear you, that may grow up knowing you and loving you. Help us, oh Lord, as we struggle as parents, knowing that your spirit is there with us. Your spirit has been given as a guide, as a help to us as we parents. In Christ's name, amen.